She vanished and reappeared a moment later, sans little Harry, this time covered in a long terry cloth bathrobe, her feet inside Fuzzy's slippers. "Molly," she said quietly, and came down the stairs. The girl averted her eyes. "Mother?" "And the wizard," she said, her mouth hardening into a line. "Of course he's here." She tilted her head to one side, her expression hardening further. "Is this who you've been with, Molly?" The air pressure in the room quadrupled, and Molly's face darkened from pink to scarlet. "So what if it is?" she demanded, defiance making the words ring. "That's no business of yours." I opened my mouth to assure Charity that I had nothing to do with anything, not that it would actually alter the nature of the conversation, but Michael glanced at me and shook his head. I zipped my lips and awaited developments. "Wrong," Charity said, her stance belligerent and unyielding. "You are a child and I am your mother. It is precisely my business." "But it's my life," Molly replied, "which you clearly lack the discipline and intelligence to manage." "Here we go again," Molly said. "Go, go, gadget control freak." "Do not take that tone of voice with me, young lady."
"Young lady,"
Molly sing-songed back in a nasal impersonation of her mother's voice, her fists now on her hips. "What's the point? Stupid of me to think that you might actually be willing to talk with me instead of telling me how to live every second of my life." "I fail to see the error in that when you clearly have no idea what you are doing, young lady. Look at you. You look like a savage." My mouth went off on reflex. "Ah, yes, a savage of the famous chromotonsorial Cahokian goth tribe," Michael winced. The look Charity turned on me could have withered the life from small animals and turned potted flowers black. "Excuse me, Mr. Dresden," she said, words clipped. "I do not recall speaking to you." "Beg pardon," I said, and gave her my sweetest smile. "Don't mind me, just thinking out loud." Molly turned to glare at me too, but hers was a pale imitation of her mother's. "I do not need you to defend me." Charity's attention shifted back to her daughter. "You will not speak to an adult in that tone of voice so long as you are in this house, young lady." "Not a problem," Molly shot back, and then she whirled on her heel and opened the door. Michael put his hand out, not with any particular effort, and the door slammed shut again with a sharp, booming impact. Sudden silence fell over the Carpenter household. Both Molly and Charity stared at Michael with expressions of utter shock. Michael took a deep breath and then said, "Ladies, I try not to involve myself in these discussions, but obviously, your conversation this evening is unlikely to resolve the differences you've had." He looked at them in turn, and his voice, while still gentle, became something more immovable than a mountain's bones. "I don't have any feeling that my trip will be an extended one," he said. "But we never know what he has planned for us, or how much time is left to any of us. This house has been upset long enough. The strife is hurting everyone. Find a way to resolve your troubles before I return." "But," Molly began. "Molly," Michael said, his tone of voice inexorable, "she is your mother. She deserves your respect and courtesy. You will give them to her for the length of a conversation." Molly set her jaw, but looked away from her father. He stared at her for a moment until she gave him a brief nod. "Thank you," he said. "I want you both to make an effort to set the anger aside and talk. By God, ladies, I will not go forth to answer the call only to come home to more conflict and strife. I get enough of that while I'm gone." Charity stared at him for a second longer and then said, "But Michael, surely you aren't going to leave now. Not when," she gestured vaguely at me, "there will be trouble." Michael stepped over to his wife and kissed her gently. Then he said, "Faith, my love." She closed her eyes and looked away from him after the kiss. "Are you sure?" I'm needed, he said with quiet certainty. He touched her face with one hand and said, Harry, would you walk me to the car? I did. Thank you, I said once we were outside. I'm glad to get out of there. Tension, knife. Michael nodded. It's been a long year. What happened to them? I asked. Michael tossed his case and his bag into the back of his white pickup truck. Molly was arrested. Possession. I blinked at him. She was possessed? He sighed and looked at me. Possession. Marijuana. And ecstasy. She was at a party and the police raided it. She was caught holding them. Wow, I said, my voice subdued. What happened? Community service, he said. We talked about it. She was clearly repentant. I thought that the humiliation and the sentence of the law were enough to settle matters, but Charity thought we were being too gentle. She tried to restrict which people Molly was allowed to spend time with. I winced. Ah, I think I can see how this played out.